Hello and welcome to today's PCI Compliance virtual conference. Our topic for this session is PCI Compliance, Demystifying the Requirements. During this session, I'll be discussing how the PCI compliance requirements are designed to help retailers secure critical data inside the enterprise and how to best approach the technology and processes towards compliance in a holistic manner. My name is Paul Jones, and I lead Cisco's efforts on retail solution architectures. In this role, I work to address the complex business issues of today's retail environments with innovative solutions and technologies. Previously, I worked as a retail systems engineer developing solutions for some of Cisco's largest retail customers. We have many people joining us from around the world today, and I'd like to thank you for logging in. Before we get started, let me quickly go over some important reminders regarding our webcast. During our live presentation, you may submit a question to be answered online by a team of Cisco's technical experts using the submit button. Simply type your question and submit. Click the refresh button at the bottom of your screen to see the latest questions and answers. The team of technical experts is well versed in today's topics, so please take advantage of their expertise and start posting your questions now to give us a best chance of answering them. I will also discuss some of your questions live at the end of the session today. We will not be able to answer every question live due to the large number of viewers that are logged in today, but we will post the Q&A with the archive at the end of the presentation. Additional information can be accessed from the links on your screen. You can enlarge your slides today to view the presentation by clicking the Enlarge Slides link. And you may download a copy of the presentation by clicking on the Download Slides link. Okay, so let's get into the presentation. The first thing I want to start with is I want to take a look, just so everybody has a level set of, you know, what a payment transaction is from a retail context. So on the left-hand side of your screen, you've got a retail store that has point-of-sale terminals, cash registers, and devices that do the payment processing. Those devices connect in through a local area network to typically a store point-of-sale controller. The point-of-sale controller would then connect across a wide area network back to the corporate data center where the authorization servers are stored, and those servers would then send the transactions through another network to the acquiring bank. So all of this is what happens. The payment card transaction goes through all those different systems, hits the acquiring bank, and then comes back to the authorization server and all the way back down to the point-of-sale cash registers. Along the way, a copy of the transaction is stored typically into some kind of a corporate point-of-sale database, which are servers in the data center. So all of that data, there's multiple places where the data is stored, where the data is moving. So there's really two focuses with PCI or the PCI data security standard. It's really about addressing your stored data at rest, which is the data that might be stored on the hard drives of the point-of-sale controller or the database servers, or the data in transit when it's moving through the network back and forth along the way. So let's move on. I've got to get my clicker. Okay, so the PCI data security standard was developed by MasterCard and Visa. Visa came out with their Visa CISP, or Cardholder Information Security Program, in 2003. In 2005, this consortium of credit card companies or payment card companies, including American Express and Diner Club, Discover, and the Japanese Credit Bureau cards, they all get together and agreed to a common set of recommendations for merchants to use in order to have more secure payment processing. So it's anybody who processes, transmits, or stores cardholder data, and it affects small companies and large companies. I'll go into more specifics on the different sizes of companies and the different requirements as we go forward. But the other thing to remember is that PCI is something that's evolving. The current standard is version 1.1, which came back or was updated in September of 2006. There's a lot of speculation that there's going to be some new guidance and more clarification coming out in June of 2008. But PCI is something that's evolving, and they're trying to keep up with the standards or the requirements as the bad guys get smarter and figure out more innovative ways to get access to cardholder data. So when you take a look at the actual standard, it's really these six main categories that are broken down into these 12 sub-requirements. So some of them are technology-oriented, where they talk about specific things like install and maintain a firewall configuration to protect data. And other ones are more policy-oriented, where you have to have policies that make sure that you're following the guidelines that are put in place and that you have the right processes in place. Aside from that, you have to have either an audit or you have to do a self-assessment annually in order to meet the requirements. So from a Canadian merchant point of view, these are the different categories that Visa looks at. I mean, we'll use Visa as a lot of the examples because they're one of the largest credit card processing companies, and they provide a lot of information on how they do their processes, and they're a good source of information. So when you look at a level one merchant is somebody who processes 6 million transactions per year. So these are 6 million card swipes and some type of a sale going on where you're recording that information. Level one merchants are required to do an annual on-site PCI data security assessment. So this is where you work with a qualified security assessor who comes in and basically does an audit of parts of your network. In many cases, I hear that the auditors might do 3% to 10%. It depends on how big your company is and how many stores you have, but they're definitely not going to have the time to audit all the stores to make sure that every store is implementing and following the process. So this is where the difference between secure credit card or secure payment practice and versus meeting PCI compliance. I'll get into that more later. But there's multiple different levels of merchant. Some are for e-commerce vendors, some are for the very small companies, and they break out in these five categories. Level 4A and 4B are some of the smaller merchant levels. From a U.S. point of view, it's a little bit different. There's only the four main categories. Level 3 and level 4 are mainly aimed at smaller companies that do fewer transactions and are more of an e-commerce nature. But the level 1 merchants are the same whether you're looking at it from a U.S. or a Canadian perspective. So what are some of the things that happen in business that create the risk from a PCI perspective? So when a company does a merger with another company, like, you know, a bigger retailer acquires another company, this is where you create more risk because now you're merging the point of sale systems together, you're merging database systems together, there's maybe changes going on throughout the network. These are the areas where you create more risk because you lose a little bit of control of the systems and the computers that are involved. All these other things are factors, too. If you're adding more locations, you're doing more online stores, you're adding new applications. Wireless, in general, is kind of a category all to its own because many retailers have legacy wireless devices that use wired equivalency privacy or WEP for the enforcement, and WEP is known to be very easy to break into now. I mean, I think there's tools on the internet where you can break into WEP in like 30 seconds or so. So not the most secure thing out there, and many retailers still use that today. The other thing is outsourcing. So when you think about having a contact center somewhere off-site, or you outsource other parts of your IT, you really need to think about, are those organizations, do they have the right levels of access to the network, and you know, how do they affect me from a PCI perspective? When you look at from a validation perspective, so the number of companies that are actually meeting PCI compliance, with the level one merchants, about 77% were compliant as of December 31st of last year. When you look at some of the other categories, you can see that, you know, 50, 60% are compliant, but there's still a large number that aren't compliant yet. I've got a lot of notes here on the slides because there's all kinds, people are always asking, well, when do we have to be compliant and does this affect us now? I mean, you can read the details on the slide, but there's still a large number of companies that are compliant. And even if you are compliant, there's still ways to improve that. And since it's an annual process that you're going to have to continue to go through, we really want to talk about how a holistic approach can help you become more operationally efficient. So what are some of the areas the most common areas where people are having challenges meeting PCI requirements. I've got a couple slides here. I think this one is the view from Amber on TrustWave, who's one of the largest North American qualified security assessors that help with remediation and whatnot. We partner with them in many cases. But, you know, they're showing here it's really requirement 3, requirement 6, requirement 10 there that seem to be the ones that most people are having problems with from their point of view. So, you know, protecting stored data is a big deal because it typically requires encryption and key management and unique user IDs to log on to systems. So those are areas that are challenging for a lot of retailers to deal with. And, even, you know, it's one way to think about it is even though you have a deadbolt for your door, that doesn't necessarily mean your house isn't going to get broken into. So something to think about, because people think if I become PCI compliant, does that mean that I have no risk? And it's like, well, not really. We'll talk about that more when we get into the architecture. So this is another view. This one's from VeriSign, you know, kind of a similar view. These are after they've done about 100 audits of large companies over the last year. These are their views of the areas where people are having some challenges. So protecting their stored data, how are they testing their security systems and processes, you know, assigning that unique ID to each user and computer. Those are the challenges that a lot of retailers or other, you know, food services companies have challenges because, you know, they have thousands and thousands of employees in many cases. So we're really making it more difficult for them to secure the environments. So the other thing is, you know, my experience is mainly from the retail point of view, but when you look at PCI, the compromises that are out there are coming from all over. I mean, it definitely isn't just retail. Retail's a large part of it. You know, in this chart, this is really saying that food service is even a bigger risk. And food service, you could say that could be quick service restaurants, that could be grocery, that could be a lot of different areas there. But, you know, when I think of food service, I think of restaurants where you hand them your credit card and they go into the back of the store to process it. And so that card is out of your control for a while. So as you can imagine, there's probably, you know, you don't know what's happening with it while it's not there. I mean, there's a big push to get more automation where people have the pay at the table. They might have a handheld computer. They do your credit card processing right there. Or maybe you pay when you leave. You know, diners and smaller restaurants, they do it that way. But that's one of the big areas where there's a lot of credit card theft going on out there. Okay, so that was some background on, like, what PCI is, what some of the risks are. Now we're going to start shifting a little bit more into the strategy on what you need to do with this information. So when you start thinking about PCI, a lot of companies that aren't compliant today, or maybe they're smaller companies, they're saying, where do I get started with this PCI thing? And, you know, what do I need to do to meet PCI compliance? And, you know, how do I move beyond it? You know, what can I do with this in order to, like, actually have more value added to my business? So, you know, when I think about it, it's one of these things where it reminds me of like Y2K, you know, so what's that, 7 or 8 years ago, 9 years ago, there was a lot of focus on, oh, we have to update the code in these old systems in order to meet Y2K compliance. So PCI is somewhat like that in the retail industry, where it's kind of forcing these retailers to upgrade their security processes, upgrade systems and network infrastructure. And some companies are looking at it like, you know, PCI is a fairly low bar. What can we do to go beyond that in order to make things even more secure? And by making them more secure, how can that help us do business differently? I mean, maybe now we can do business directly with our customers on their mobile devices. Or maybe we can expand the use of wireless throughout our stores because we've invested in a more secure wireless system. So there's definitely ways to think of it where you don't have to look at it like it's this burden or this additional insurance policy you have to buy. So like I said, I mean, it's really good business. The best companies, or I shouldn't say the best companies, but some of the state-of-the-art companies that we're working with, they look at PCI like it's not that big of a deal because the security methods that they have in their data centers and their stores and their e-commerce sites, they're already so far beyond it that, you know, PCI is more of like a reporting hurdle that they have to get through. So it's a matter of how can they efficiently collect the data from those systems in hundreds or thousands of locations and pull it back and present it to the auditor more efficiently. So they're into more of like, how do I automate it? But in many companies, it's really like, what do I need to do within the data center or the stores or from an e-commerce perspective to become PCI compliant? So, you know, a couple different ways to look at it. And really, you know, when you think about it, the way to get there, it's about best practices. So in this, the people that have been focused on security, they've been talking best practices in very secure environments for years. So what we're talking about with PCI is really trying to create that very secure shopping environment, whether it's in the store or online. You know, your customer wants to be sure that if they buy something in your store, their credit card information isn't going to walk out. And unfortunately, recently, we've heard of hundreds and thousands and even millions of credit card numbers that are going missing or being compromised kind of on a daily basis. So what we want to try to do in leveraging PCI is to create a more secure environment and make sure that your customers don't have an issue with identity theft. We want to make sure that you're protecting your brand image and your assets. And finally, we want to help mitigate some of that financial risk that's associated with the fines and penalties if you fail to meet compliance. So I didn't talk about it earlier, but that's the way that when you think about this whole flow, the credit card companies, they'll issue fines and penalties to the merchant banks or your acquiring bank, and then they'll typically pass those penalties down onto the retailer. So if it's a monthly fine of, say, $25,000, some retailers might say, "Ah, that's not that big of a deal. It's going to cost us a couple $1 million to become compliant." Well, the other side of it is that the credit card companies will start increasing their per transaction fees. So this could be like you go from 1.25% for every transaction to 3.5% for every transaction. So that could quickly get into millions and millions of dollars when you're doing 6 million credit card transactions a year. So this is really the big stick that the credit card companies have. The other side of it is that, you know, if you have a breach, you don't disclose it, it becomes public. At the end of the day, they can cut you off and say, "We're not going to do business with you because you're too much of a risk to our systems." So you know, you may not be able to process credit card companies from certain brands if you don't follow their rules. So this is where some of the pain and contention comes up with the whole thing. All right. So another thing to remember is that, you know, compliance is really just the beginning. You know, we're talking about passing the test, but many merchants are looking at going beyond passing the test and really, like, how secure is our data? In some places, all they care about is, you know, having the audit done, providing the information, figuring out where they are, and that typically will lead into a lot of compensating controls. Compensating controls are kind of a part of becoming PCI compliant. So it's something that your qualified security assessor can offer as a workaround in the case that you don't meet the specific compliance requirements. The problem with compensating controls is that they create more bureaucracy, because now it's something that you have to monitor, you have to set up logging, you have to have a policy around it, you have to audit to make sure the policy is being followed. So it's really, it adds to the cost of supporting your PCI effort. We believe that if you look at it more like, what can we do to go beyond the PCI requirements, then you're not going to have an issue and you're probably going to have a more streamlined operation. So it really starts leading to this focus of what's your end-to-end strategy. Do you have an end-to-end strategy from your stores all the way through your data center to help you meet compliance more efficiently? So now let me talk a little bit more about the PCI solution for retail and the work that we've done with some top industry partners to help you become compliant more easily and to reach this operational efficiency that I'm talking about. So the value of our solution, we've created this unique thing in the industry. We have a scalable set of architectures that really help you become compliant more easily and to maintain being compliant along the way. So we've got this end-to-end view, And we brought in a variety of partners. We've had the architectures validated by one of the leading qualified security assessors out there. And we've created this design guide that's about 600 pages long that's, you know, good bedtime reading. But it will help you see different ways of approaching compliance, whether you're at the store, whether you're in the data center, or the internet edge. So I'll go into more detail on all these. Here's the view of the partners that we've worked with. So NCR, IBM, Wincor, Nixdorf, those are some of the biggest point-of-sale vendors out there. SAP with their software for point-of-sale and retail applications. Verifone's one of the biggest payment companies out in the world. Intermec with their handheld devices for mobile point-of-sale or mobile inventory. And then, of course, RSA and Verizon Business CyberTrust, they're the ones that really helped us from the data security perspective. RSA provided their applications that do encryption for that stored data at rest and analysis of logging information. And then Verizon Business CyberTrust, they provided the auditing and the recommendations on how to make the environment as secure as possible. They also provided the report of compliance, which is the detailed, like 90-page, step-by-step through all 200-plus sub-requirements of what the requirement is, what it means, how we did it, and then any notes on like which products or technologies were used. So all the information is there in the design guide. So from an architectural or a framework perspective, our solution starts with the network systems layer. So we have reference designs for small, medium, and large retail stores. We have data center reference designs and the internet edge. So internet edge is where you would be doing your e-commerce and your extranet connections to your partners and to your mobile workers. Moving up from that, it's the internet integrated network services layer. So in this layer of the solution, this is where we're talking about the security services and identity services that are distributed across a wide variety of products and features in those products, and then the network and systems management applications that are used to manage those environments. So rather than looking at things from, like at the ISR router level or the wireless access point level, we're trying to raise it up a level and think about the common security services for firewalling, for intrusion prevention, for antivirus that are being distributed across this wide variety of products. The benefit you get with this kind of an architecture is that you can use whichever size router, switch, access point, but you're getting a common set of security services that are delivered through iOS or other software across those devices. And then moving up, looking at the application layer, this is where our partners' products, whether it's the point of sale or the payments or the encryption devices, this is where they would sit in reference to the architecture overall. The other point to remember with the PCI solution, the whole service side of it, whether it's for auditing or scanning or the remediation work, service is an important component to remember because you can't become PCI compliant at the product level. You really have to become compliant at after you have an audit or a self-assessment completed. Okay, so here's our what I call the hockey puck view. You know, our Cisco routers, they're the round three-dimensional, you know, things up there that kind of look like blue hockey pucks. So we call these hockey puck diagrams. On the left side, you've got the retail store view where you've got a Cisco ISR router connecting into a switch or a wireless access point that connects to all those devices in the store. On the store devices, the PCs, the point of sale, the in-store server, we're running Cisco Security Agent, and that does local host intrusion prevention, like personal firewalling of those devices. It can also be used to manage and monitor access to log files or protect the integrity of specific files within those systems. In a lot of cases, even though we might have data encryption by RSA, CSA, or Cisco Security Agent, was the thing that actually helped that device pass the PCI requirement specific to the device because the other products perhaps didn't make the log files and the actual file system as strong as it needed to be. So moving over, we've got the wide area network that connects between the store and the data center. In the data center, we're kind of following a typical Cisco reference design where we have, you know, multiple WAN routers. We've got the core and the service aggregation level, and then that connects down into the service access layer or the server access layer. In the server access layer, we have all the different, you know, authentication and monitoring devices. I'm going to go into more detail on all of these, but the next one is Internet Edge. That's where we're connecting to the devices that are providing the secure kind of your firewall or DMZ between the internet and your corporate network. And then we've got storage, which is another kind of newer area within PCI, where we're using our MDS SAN switches to provide encryption to that stored data at rest. And then finally, we've got a teleworker out there. It could be teleworker, it could be an online consumer who'd be connecting in through the internet to access, say, e-commerce applications. So when you think about the data center from a PCI perspective, a lot of the data center security recommendations that Cisco's had for a number of years, most of those are pretty good for meeting PCI requirement in general, but there are some more specific things that you need to do. And then the other thing is from a retail perspective, retailers typically have a large WAN aggregation because you might have hundreds or thousands of stores that are connecting in. So typically the way that you're going to approach WAN aggregation is different. It's probably going to be more robust. Another thing that comes up is the type of network that you're connecting to from the store. If you're connecting through like an internet type connection or you're connecting over a non-private network, then you're going to need to do some firewall and VPN termination within that WAN aggregation layer before you go into the core of the network. So all these details that I'm getting into, I'm going over them real fast, but this is the level of detail that's in the design guide that I'll talk about more towards the end. Finally, we come in through the core. The service aggregation area, that's an important area too, because this is the area where you're going to have your load balancers, you're going to have your inside firewalls, and you're going to be providing kind of that last line of secure defense before you get down into the servers or the storage. When you look at the storage area networking, some interesting new things are available where we can provide encryption on the fly with the new service encryption engine for the MDS switches. So, and that's working with RSA. RSA could be providing the actual encryption or the key management for the data that's stored on your storage area network or on your tapes. But this is a key area within PCI because many retailers are having challenges with how they protect their stored data. So it's not good enough just to say, oh, everything's encrypted. How are you encrypting it? Who has access to the keys that for the security keys? You have to rotate the keys on a regular basis. You have to make sure that only limited people have access to the keys. So it's a very kind of complex area, and we're trying to add more capability by having the encryption built directly into the SAN switching infrastructure. So let's talk a little bit about the Internet Edge. So Internet Edge is an important area. It's an area that for years people have been, you know, concerned about, you know, protecting from the outside and the inside and having this multi-level demilitarized zone type of approach for how you connect to the internet. In our design guide, we kind of split it into two halves. One half deals with the access for your extranet and your teleworkers that are coming in. It could be your partners as well. They would come into the network typically using a virtual private network or VPN. Their VPN sessions would be terminated on those inside adaptive security appliances or the ASA modules that are within the Internet Edge of the network. On the other side, it's more for the e-commerce business that you'd be doing, and we have more robust connectivity there. We're using 6500s with firewall service modules for the defense. We have IPS throughout this, and then we also have the our ACE or our application control engine for server load balancing and like load balancing the sessions and the traffics. So splitting the traffic between the web servers and the database servers that would be used. We've also have the ACE XML gateway, which is a device that with the new version of software that's available this month, it'll be a full web application firewall capable of defending HTML or XML attacks. So this device is used to do translation between different types of web traffic coming in and making sure that people aren't trying to do attacks like SQL injection or other type of web browser attacks that are pretty common out there in the e-commerce world right now. So between all these things, we provide a pretty rich set of appliances that can be used to give you a very secure e-commerce experience. All right, so back to the store. So in the store, we use ISR routers or our intelligent services routers, and the ISR is one of the kind of critical components here. From a retail perspective, it's a great fit because we have small, medium, and large, and extra large ISR routers, and they're capable of running the firewall service, the intrusion prevention service, they can do content filtering, they can do VPN termination. So if you want to get a lot of bang for your buck, many retailers, most of the large ones, are going with an ISR router as their main, you know, defense point in and out of the store network and even within the store network. So in addition to that, we have the Catalyst LAN switches that provide a high level of security, secure access, and filtering with the and segmentation of the different VLANs. We've also got the unified wireless access points that are kind of doing the same thing. So from a wireless perspective, this is definitely an area where our design guide gets into the level of detail with all this. I mean, it isn't good enough just to have one network within the store, like one LAN. We break it out into 4 to 5 to 6 different subnets or different local area networks and virtual LANs that you have within the store, separate from a wireless perspective. So like on the wireless, for example, we would split it into one network for the devices that only support WEP, and we would contain that and firewall that through the ISR. And then for the other devices that maybe aren't payment-related, they'd be on a separate network. And then for the other devices that are payment-related but are newer, where they support, say, WPA2 security, which is, you know, stronger authentication and encryption, then they'd be on a separate VLAN or subnet. So all of these are contained within one common unified wireless network, but it's really as if you have three different networks that are operating simultaneously. And then the last thing within the store architecture is really looking at the servers and the hosts. So on those servers and hosts, you know, we'd follow whatever the best Windows or Linux security recommendations are at the device level. So change management, patch management, antivirus, all those things need to be installed. But beyond that, this is where we get into having Cisco Security Agent and having perhaps the RSA file security manager on those devices to encrypt specific files, or RSA database security manager to encrypt specific records within the databases that are contained on those servers. Same thing with the point of sale devices. On those devices, you want to use CSA to limit the access. It does the host intrusion detection. It does the personal firewalling of the device. And in a retail environment, you have the ability to really, really lock things down. It's different than, say, a business where they have a bunch of traveling workers, salespeople that are using laptops, and they're going to be installing different applications and program. In retail, it's typically where you know exactly what applications should be running on that point-of-sale cash register, and that's all that should ever run on it. In some places, people want to have internet access from the point-of-sale cash register, like for the employees to be able to pull up like a web browser. CSA can do things like limit access of what can be transferred, what can be copied, all those kinds of things. So you can really make it a very much more secure environment than just having, say, you know, an antivirus software on the device. Okay, let me move on. So the culmination of all these things these recommendations and guidance that I'm giving here, they're all written up in our PCI design and implementation guide. So like I said, version 1 we did in 2007. The recent version here was finished in February of 2008. And this is about 600 pages that goes through how the different devices meet specific requirements within PCI per device, and then from an architecture view, and then full configuration detail where we show you how you specifically configure all these devices. So this includes the IBM, Wincore, Nixdorf, and NCR point-of-sale cash register devices, the Verifone payment devices, the Intermec handheld, so it's wired and wireless networking, and the whole thing soup to nuts. So you don't have to read all 600 pages, but you can use it somewhat like an encyclopedia, and you can compare the way we did it and met compliance compared to the way you're doing it. So a lot of network architects tell us that they like it because they can use the document to do their due diligence and help them plan their strategy when they're going through their audit or their self-assessment process. So some of the key findings, you know, going through this thing, because we've been focused on PCI and helping customers become compliant for the last few years. So a single device cannot be PCI compliant. We've got some vendors that are out there in the industry that talk about how their device or their management software helps you or is PCI compliant. A single device can't be compliant because it's really the processes and practices and how that device interacts with the other devices that really affect your overall state of becoming compliant. So, you know, it's something to think about. It's really like you need a process. Like a Cisco router by itself can't be PCI compliant because we need to do things like have secure access, remote authentication, AAA services, all these things. So we're using a variety of other tools like Cisco Secure Access Control Server in the data center. We're using Cisco Works for the configuration management. We're using Cisco Security Manager for the enforcement of the security side of it, maybe the security operations people use that tool, and the network administration people use Cisco Works. And then on top of all of that, we're using Network Compliance Manager to do the enforcement to make sure that the configurations that do meet our compliance are being enforced, and we get that dashboard view of what's in compliance or out of compliance. So something else to think about is that when you're adding new devices to the store or the data center, this is where we really increase our risk for breaches. Because when new devices get added, this is where you know, there's that window where somebody can get either a Trojan on it or some type of software, or have access from an administrative level to more information than they need to. So you really need to make sure that you prototype this stuff, test it offline, make sure it's fully secure, have your qualified security assessor involved if that's, you know, the right fit. But it's really the areas you need to look at. Centralized management and policy, it's essential. I kind of talked about the different tools that we have, but it's very difficult to become or maintain compliance if you're doing everything from a command line level. I'm not saying it can't be done. It's just when you get in a retail environment and you have more than 10 stores, 100 stores, 1,000 stores, you're talking about thousands of devices. So a lot of PCI best practice is what kind of controls do you have in place to make sure that what you think is what it takes to pass the test of becoming compliant, is that really what's actually installed and running on the devices now? That's the challenge, and that's where you really need to get into some centralized tools that are going to help you get there. And then the last thing is, you know, PCI compliance, it's a very good list of best practices and recommendations where to have network and infrastructure and data security turned on, but it's really only focused on your payment and your point of sale traffic. It really doesn't get into all the rest of the data within your network. So if you care about like employee information or other, if you have a customer loyalty program and you have, you know, customers' names, addresses, and phone numbers and other stuff, you want to protect all that stuff too. So PCI doesn't care about that stuff at all. PCI also doesn't really care about the availability of the network or the resilience of the network. So like when we were going through the audits, we asked the auditor, do you want to look at, you know, do you want to go through the audit of like a fully high availability data center? He says, I don't care about that. He says, if the network's down, the payment transactions aren't flowing, so that's all I care about. So they kind of have a single-threaded view of the world. And, you know, a lot of Cisco's recommendations on how to do best data security recommendations, a lot of it's like, is the network and is the infrastructure available? Like, we're concerned about denial of service attacks as well. So that's where you kind of get into this gap between how secure is your store versus are you PCI compliant? Because if you're PCI compliant, it may be a pretty low bar from a overall data security perspective. The last thing, or one of the last things I'm going to cover, is I wanted to point out the, from the lifecycle services point of view. So over the last couple of years, Cisco's really taken PCI internally, and from the services perspective, a couple of years ago, we had security posture assessments, and we would do, you know, help companies, we'd scan their network and we would help them determine what how they're doing from a secure computing perspective. Now we've got a full set of lifecycle services that look at PCI, and we really understand what it takes to become PCI compliant. Now, Cisco is not a qualified security assessor, so you still need to work with your Amber on TrustWaves or your CyberTrusts or your VeriSigns or other companies of the world that are out there. There's more than 100 that are listed on the PCI website that are qualified to help you in that role. But what happens is there's often a lot of work that gets done ahead of time before you do the audit to make sure, you know, you're as secure as you can be. Then you go through the audit or you do your self-assessment. You figure out these are the areas where you have gaps. And that's really where you get into this remediation work of what needs to be done in order for you to meet the actual guidelines and get your report of compliance. After that, it goes into more of an operational and an optimized role because PCI is something that you have to deal with every quarter and every year. So it's not about just becoming compliant. You really need to think about it more holistically. And that's why, you know, we can help with these services if you're interested in that. Chris, a little bit later, is going to talk about that as well. So, you know, in starting to wrap this thing up, PCI is something that you need to look at from this past, present, and future type view. Our customers are telling us this because when we first started looking at it, we were thinking, oh, what's it take to become compliant? Now it's more like, you know, you need to become compliant, so what can Cisco offer to help you get there? We have our design guides, we have our reference architectures, we have the services that I mentioned. You know, today, if you are compliant, you know, how do you know that somebody's not hacking in your systems or somebody hasn't already deployed this botnet on all your cash registers and they're collecting data right now? How do you know that? So this is where you get into monitoring and logging and doing this event correlation to see is the data that's coming and are the people that are accessing the systems, are they really the authorized users, and it are all things operating the way they should be? And then from a past point of view, if you were hacked, do you have the forensic tools in place to be able to tell who had access when and what did they have access to? So, you know, you really have to think about that. And that's where a lot of these systems and services that I've talked about, they help you set up that network and system audit trail, if you will, and they give you the detail that you can go back historically and see who had access. So in summary, you know, PCI is something that's rapidly growing around the globe. We're talking to people in Asia, South America, Central America, Europe, and North America as well. So it's definitely something that is becoming more of a global security standard that's affecting, you know, many different types of companies, retail, food services, and many companies that process payment card transaction. So, you know, becoming compliant is a good hurdle to aim for, but then beyond compliance, it's really about protecting the rest of the data within your network, and I think the solutions that we have are really designed to help you get there. So, you know, if you follow our PCI solution, it helps you simplify your IT security because we have this holistic approach. We've got integrated systems. We've got reference architectures that are designed to work together. We've got centralized management systems that can collect all that information. And we've tested with a variety of different partners. And we give you the information on how to work with them to protect your data at rest as well as your data in motion. So we believe that that holistic approach really lowers your operating costs and it makes it easier for you to become compliant and then also to add more different types of business on top of that. So when you have this strong network infrastructure, you can run more applications, you can do more things to create customer experience and change things and do more business than you would if you're primarily focused on just, you know, meeting the basic things of PCI compliance. So we're really trying to help you create a more secure system overall. So some more information that's available. I've got some links here on where you can download our design guide from the PCI Solution for Retail website. Links there to the PCI Security Standard and Visa and MasterCard, and then some other programs that are available for our channel partners or resellers where they can get more information about PCI. All right, so now let's take a few minutes and we're going to answer some questions from our viewers that have come in today. So let's see. I guess I'm going to shift over here and take a look at the questions. So PCI has been around for several years, and most large companies have already started becoming compliant. Does this mean that they don't have to worry anymore? Well, as I said, you know, PCI is one of these things where you can become compliant, and that's a great thing. And many companies, they'll go through the process, they'll get a big team together, they'll tackle PCI, and they'll get their report of compliance, and they'll think they're done. And then about 6 months later, they go, uh-oh, we got to do it again. And then they go through the whole thing again. So a lot of it with PCI is, what can you do to make it more automatic? How can you collect the information, make the data that you're going to get to the auditor more effective more quickly? And then how can you make it where you're actually pulling more devices out there than just like the small percentage that the auditor's actually going to audit? Because in a lot of cases, they might only audit 3% or 5% of your actual running systems. So, you know, what can you do to automate that? This is where we get into things like Cisco's Network Compliance Manager or other tools that are going to pull in that information and then help you with your change management so that the configurations that meet your requirements are actually installed and running on the devices that they're supposed to be on. And then you get red flags and alerts when the configuration changes. So I think that type of approach gives you much more of a realistic view of where your systems are compared to just saying we're PCI compliant. So another question, is an MPLS network a public or a private network from a PCI perspective? This is one of these questions we've been hearing for the last couple years. It's kind of interesting. So if you send an email to the Visa KISP information email address, they'll say that MPLS is considered a public network. So if it's a public network, our recommendation is you should run a VPN over that public network, because you don't know what's happening to your data as it crosses that wide area network. So the best way to protect it is to run a virtual private network across it. In many cases, though, we'll talk to qualified security assessors, and they'll say, oh, they're on a private MPLS network, so you don't have to run VPN. So, you know, it's one of these things, your mileage may vary, your auditor may have a different interpretation than what Visa says, you know, in general, but, you know, our perspective is, if you need to run a VPN, we've got the technologies built into the architecture for you to do that. If you don't need to run it, you feel safe enough with it going through that cloud, then you don't have to turn it on. Okay. Another question. My point of service or my point of sales vendor is not part of your solution. Does that mean that I'd have to change my POS to one of the ones that you've tested with? Well, what we have in our design guide are more like best practices and recommendations in working how to secure point of sale systems in general. In the design guide, we've got some detailed information on how our NCR system or the IBM systems, what they did specifically within their systems, like their point of sale server or their cash registers, in order to meet the guidelines. You can use that information with your point of sale system as well. So it really isn't specific, like you have to use one of the ones that are recommended. It's more general information on what you would do to make those systems more secure. Okay. Some of the network equipment I have deployed is not included in the design guide. Does that mean that I would not be PCI compliant? I'd need new equipment. Well, this is one of those areas where that thing I talked about, the integrated network services, really come into play. So we're talking about the security service that the network is providing, or the identity service. So when you think about that, that means that from a security service perspective, there's certain things you have to do within different devices in order to meet the requirements. So like in the route, like in the store, for example, you need a firewall capability, you need a wireless infrastructure that supports WPA, those kinds of things. You need some intrusion detection service. The Cisco ISR router does that really well. If you have an older router, like a 2600, in the store, for example, you can run an iOS security software image on that router, and you can run the same services. You just may not have as much memory or processing power as you would on, say, a 2800 or a 3800, but this is where you get that flexibility. You know, you can custom tailor it. You can say, these guys are already on 2600s. I'm not going to worry about those. My new stores, I'm going to buy newer routers because I want more processing power to run more intrusion detection signatures and to have, like, the latest capabilities that are available. I want to be able to run the newer versions of iOS that have more features in them as well. The other area that this gets into is the whole thing about If I have an old device that's end of life and I can no longer do software upgrades, this is where you might get into more of a problem, because if you can't upgrade the code on it and the code that's on it is known to have a problem or a shortcoming, like say it doesn't support SSH version 2, which you need if you're going to manage those devices over the network, then in those cases you probably would have to update that device, or you'd have to at least get a maintenance contract on it so that you could get the latest version of iOS to meet those requirements. So this is where, you know, there is a bit of a trade-off there. Okay, next question. Are all the management applications that you have included in the PCI solution for retail required? So this is one of those things where, you know, the right answer is probably no. You don't have to use all of the applications that we've included. We included a variety of different applications to show you kind of, say, the best practice on the tools. And it takes a lot of different tools because there's a lot of different components involved. You know, there's the wireless configuration server, WCS, that's used to manage the wireless environment. We have CiscoWorks to manage the LAN and WAN infrastructure. We're using Cisco Security Manager to manage the security side of the devices within the network, and then we have Network Compliance Manager to manage that part of it, and we have the access control server. So all those things they each do a different thing. If you're a smaller company, you don't have to use those tools. You can use third-party tools. You can use the command line or the device manager application that's built into a lot of the products. The challenge you're going to get is that you need to kind of collect that information holistically for your auditor to show them what your running configs are. You need to be able to show them that your running configs match the secure config that they've approved for the device. So you're going to have to be able to collect all that information. That can be done through different ways. You know, the tools that we use, we think maybe make it a little bit easier. But, you know, it's one of those areas where you can use whatever you think is the best fit. The only other thing, though, is from the event correlation perspective, you know, it's one of those best practice things. You really need some type of an event correlation tool. We think Cisco Secure Mars or CS Mars is probably one of the best ones out there, because it can collect the NetFlow information from all the devices. It can collect that Cisco Security Agent information from the point of sale registers and the servers and all your servers on the back end, and the wireless devices, and it can correlate all that together so you can see across kind of the whole infrastructure what's going on, and is there some type of a coordinated attack going on? Did I get a denial of service attack over here that's related to somebody trying to break in over here that's not authorized? If you don't have that kind of a tool, everything is, you might be logging everything and meeting your requirements, but you really don't have that added intelligence that's going to help you have a more secure environment. Okay, two more questions here. What's the difference between a network firewall and a web application firewall? Good question. So a network firewall is really a device that's doing segmenting and limiting access, typically through the network, like layers 2 through 4 coming in to the network. So at the store level, we recommend that you have a network firewall. At the internet edge level, and then throughout the data center, there's different areas within the data center where people run network firewalls. A web application firewall is more of a layer 7 firewall that's going to be doing security at the application level, like when you're dealing with different types of attacks that are at the HTML or the XML level. So our Cisco ACE-XML gateway is our web application firewall, and that's the device that we would recommend using at the internet edge, or perhaps in the WAN aggregation if you're moving to more and more web services type applications in the network. So they're kind of two different roles. They're both firewalls, but they operate at different levels within the network. Okay, last question here that we have time for right now. We passed PCI compliance last year, and we're facing another audit this year. What can Cisco offer to make the burden of the audit easier and improve our overall security at the same time? That sounds like kind of a loaded question there, but so this is where, you know, we have a variety of services that are available. Chris is going to talk about the services that are available to, you know, help you get the pre-audit done, work through the process. Some of the tools like Cisco Network Compliance Manager, that tool can look at the different devices and determine where they are from a PCI compliance perspective, and then help you keep that enforcement up. So by having those centralized tools and services in place, I think it'll make that whole process of becoming and maintaining compliance easier. Okay, that's it. That's all we have time for today. I'd like to thank the hundreds of viewers who logged in today. We hope that you'll participate in future virtual conferences. If you have more questions, please feel free to visit with us at the end of this session. We're going to have an interactive booth where you can talk with us live through our virtual conference. I encourage you to ask questions of me and the other Cisco experts on hand, as well as to network with your peers that are attending the show. So on behalf of myself, as well as the Cisco technical and marketing team that made today's event possible, this is Paul Jones, and thanks for logging in.